Happy Friday, everyone. We've made it through the week, and we've got another great episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. This is a wonderful day for you to have tuned in to the broadcast. We're currently in a series called The Power of Repentance, and today we'll conclude that series. In addition to the exciting conclusion of the series, we have an offer for you. We want to give you something free. I'm going to tell you how to get your hands on this free offer at the end of the broadcast, so stay tuned for that. As for right now, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Today, we're talking about why so many people think repentance is a condition for having eternal life. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're about to conclude our series on repentance based on Bob's book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance. In this series, we've touched on the subjects of every chapter. And we didn't cover all the chapters, so you really need to read the book to get the full argument. There's also a number of appendices, and we just want to talk about one appendices. It's Appendix 1, and it's called Why So Many Think Repentance is a Condition of Everlasting Life. If you listen to just about any pastor preaching about what one must do to have everlasting life, they're going to say that repentance and faith are required. Look at the statement of faith at your church's website, and they will most likely say that salvation depends on repentance and faith. Now, why is it, given everything that we've already examined in this series, why is it that people believe? How did this come about? Why do people think this?
Okay, I have three reasons that I suggest. And the first one, I've listed them in order of what I think is most compelling reason. And this may seem odd because I've got scriptures last, third.
Right.
But I really don't think the scriptures drive most people on this issue. I think what drives them are two other points, and then the scriptures for them back it up because they go to some proof texts. But the first thing I think is it just flat out seems reasonable to them that you have to repent to be born again. It seems reasonable to people that bad people go to hell and good people go to heaven.
Right. So right? If you want to be saved, you got to stop being bad.
Right.
You got to repent.
Right. Because in their view, if you're saying, let's say, for example, a person who was sleeping around and sleeping with a different person every day of the week, and you said that person is born again if they simply believe in Jesus, a lot of people would go, no, that's absolutely wrong.
Well, that's not enough.
Right.
He's having too much fun.
Well, of course, they don't understand that the Bible says that's actually the way of pain and suffering.
Oh, absolutely.
And death.
Absolutely.
But the truth is, a lot of people think that way, right? They
right.
think, oh, that's the fun way.
Yeah.
No, that's...
Yeah, holiness is boring. You know, right. The Christian life is just, that's the suffering life.
So inadvertently, when people are telling people they've got to turn from their sins to be born again, they're not only contradicting the message which Jesus proclaimed, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and he said nothing about repenting to have everlasting life. But on top of that, they're also giving the false impression that the way of wickedness is really a good way to go if you could get away with it.
Yeah.
And the truth is, you can't get away with it because God is going to judge believer or unbeliever here and now.
Right.
And also, of course, after this life is over, the judgment seat of Christ to determine rewards for believers and the great white throne to determine degrees of torment for unbelievers. But once we start thinking this way, it's not because of the scriptures. It's really because of reason. It's what makes sense to us.
Right. And what makes sense to a lot of people is, I think this all boils down to work salvation. That's what repentance
right.
is. People think it's just reasonable that if you want to go to heaven, you have to be good. And if you want to be good, you have to stop being bad. So you better repent to be saved.
And the funny thing is, there are many people who recognize that the scriptures say that salvation is not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Right.
And so what they've come up with is a system where they say, well, you're born again as a gift by faith apart from works, but you must turn from your sins. You must resolve to change your life. You must resolve to begin to obey Christ, and you must submit to him and yield to him. And this will necessarily lead to a life of godliness, or else you didn't, quote unquote, really believe.
Right.
And so there are people who would say you can't lose your salvation But yet they're still basing how a person is born again on what seems reasonable to them. And so they're kind of playing semantic games, it seems to me.
Right. Isn't it true, though, just to make it a little bit more complicated, it may be that before a person comes to faith, they have been called to repent of, let's say there's a drug addict who's never heard about Jesus, and a preacher says, listen, you're going to die if you keep on taking drugs. You need to repent. Otherwise, you're going to die an early death. Now, let's say he starts thinking about repentance, maybe even starts acting on it. That doesn't mean he's born again. Maybe he'll get born again when he believes in Jesus for eternal life. But that might be part of his story.
That's a great point. I was on staff at First Baptist Dallas for 1 year, 1980-81, when Dr. Criswell was still the pastor, and Robert Jeffress, who's now the pastor, was the high school pastor.
Oh, wow.
And I worked under Robert Jeffress in an internship in the high school department. Well, anyway, I remember hearing Dr. Criswell Sunday after Sunday have altar calls. And part of the altar call, he would say, so-and-so has taken a step toward God.
Mm-hmm.
Not believed in Christ for their salvation, not joining the church. They've just taken a step toward God. Dr. Criswell was basically saying what you're saying, that there comes a point in a person's life where they may realize, I need to get closer to God. That can be a first step to them hearing the saving message and being born again. It's not a condition,
right?
But it still can open the door for them to hear and believe.
Right.
But there's a second reason I point out, and it's before we get to the scriptures, and that is the old fiddler on the roof thing, tradition.
Right,
you know,
tradition, yeah. So people just do that because they think, well, tradition is one of their authorities, one of their sources of authority.
Right.
People think to themselves, well, if this is a very old belief, so therefore it must be true.
Right. But this is the second reason why a lot of people are drawn to this idea that repentance is a condition for everlasting life, because this is what my denomination has taught for centuries, or this is what my church has taught since I was born, or this is what my parents taught me. This is what seems reasonable is one, but number two is the tradition. And when those two fit together, it seems reasonable to me, and this tradition is very strong. Therefore, they say, this is right. Then they go to the scripture.
But tradition comes first.
It seems to me tradition and reason come first.
It's almost like an argument from peer pressure. Well, everyone else is believing this, and everyone else is telling me that I should believe this, so I guess it must be true.
Right.
Well, okay, so I see a problem here. I see a problem with the first reason and the problem with the second reason. They don't make scripture supreme.
That's exactly right. We should start and end with scripture.
You can't reason your way to the gospel. The gospel is foolishness to the world.
You know?
So it doesn't matter if it seems reasonable to you. That might be a sign that you're on the wrong track, because the gospel is foolishness.
It should seem unreasonable.
The idea that God just gives you eternal life for free because of what a Jewish carpenter did on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago does not make sense to the world.
Right.
Work salvation makes sense.
Right.
Of course, we're biblicists. You know, since the Protestant Reformation elevated scripture over the authority of the church, that's kind of been watered down a little bit, and we're trying to kind of hold the torch for being biblicists and saying this is our authority, not these other things.
That's right. And the sad thing is, when you come to the third reason why so many people believe repentance is required to be saved, it's not because they go to the scriptures and find out what the scriptures say you must do to be born again, and they find that it says repentance. Instead, what they do is they've already been influenced by their tradition. They've already been influenced by reason. And so they go to the scriptures to see, can I find any verses that back up what I've already convinced is true?
So they already have the tinted glasses on from reason and tradition. And now they're just looking for confirmation bias in the scriptures. They're just looking, can I pick out a scripture that just supports what I already believe?
I love that. Confirmation bias. That's a good way to put it. And so they'll look at a verse like, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they'll say, there it is.
See?
And they'll act like that was Jesus speaking to us in the 21st century rather than he's talking to the nation of Israel about them repenting so the kingdom could come for that generation.
Right.
And whatever the text is, they're taking them out of context and misinterpreting them. But what they should do is they should go especially to John's gospel and say, okay, what does John 3:16 say? Well, it's nothing about repenting. In fact, repentance doesn't occur anywhere in John's gospel, which should be telling, because its purpose, John 20:31, is that you might believe, and that believing you might have life in his name. And so the truth is we should go to passages like John 3:16, John 5:24, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Acts 16:31, Revelation 22:17, and we should say, these verses clearly establish the faith alone message. We're born again, we're justified by faith alone, apart from repentance, apart from works. And then we'll understand all those repentance passages independently of the message of everlasting life. But people get confused because their reason gets in the way, their tradition gets in the way, and then they cherry pick confusing verses rather than going to the clear passages like John 3:16, and it leads them the wrong way. For you, listener, my encouragement and Sean's encouragement is be Bereans. Search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Acts 17:11. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So don't let yourself get confused because this is the consensus view of so many people that you have to repent to be born again. No, you have to believe to be born again. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And the message of repentance is for fullness of life. It is one that can lead you to come to church and to hear the saving message. But repentance is not the way in which we are born again.
If you want to know more about repentance and how it functions in the Christian life and what the Bible really talks about repentance and teaches about repentance, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like you to email radio@faithalone.org. And the first 25 people who email that address, radio@faithalone.org, and say, I'd like a free copy of Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, email us and I will send you a free copy of that book to the first 25 people who email. This book, I think, will just revolutionize your life. It'll make the scriptures come alive to you, and you'll just understand the plan of salvation and God's plan of discipleship so much better. So email radio@faithalone.org and ask for a free copy of Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance by Bob Wilkin.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion. Well, you heard Sean right there at the end. He made a pretty impressive offer. He said that if you email us at radio@faithalone.org, that's radio@faithalone.org, then you can get a free book. The first 25 to do so will get a free book. I'm pretty excited about this. This is our first free offer, and I hope that you take advantage of it. In addition to that, we've got all kinds of free resources on our website, faithalone.org. I hope that you'll take advantage of that as well. We've got a great print magazine that you can get a free subscription to. We've got free videos, podcasts, blog posts, information about upcoming events. Maybe you'd even like to become a financial partner with our ministry. If that's the case, you can do all of that and more at faithalone.org. Well, like Sean said, you can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. I hope you'll do that. I'm looking forward to a great weekend. I hope you are too. We'll be back here at the same time, same place on Monday. We look forward to speaking to you then. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until then, let's keep grace in focus.